Genesis chapter 15, one of the most remarkable single chapters in the Bible, and it's a delight to share it with you under the title, The Lord's Ledger. I read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great.' Abram said, 'O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' And Abram said, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir.' Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir.' And he took him outside and said, 'Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it.' He said, 'O Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it?' So he said to him, 'Bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon.' Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. The birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. God said to him, 'Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete.' It came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the Canaanite and the Kenizzite and the Kadmonite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Rephaim, the Amorite and the Canaanite, and the Girgashite and the Jebusite.'" It seems to me that I'm using very dated language when I say to you that this reminds me of the Lord's ledger. I suspect that there be very few in the bookkeeping and accounting world who use a paper ledger, some big book that folds out and covers most of the desk and that it has multiple columns. I suspect that a ledger such as that, which was ever so common in banks and businesses of every kind years gone by, I suspect it is desperately hard to find. And I wonder whether I should rather call this Emmanuel's Excel. The Emmanuel's Excel is the Savior's spreadsheet or Shaddai's spreadsheet, something that would remind us better of computers and the screen that pops up and all of the figures that are plugged in there. Well, here we are right in the middle of Abram's life before his name was changed to Abraham. And God is once again speaking to his servant, saying, "Abram, I have brought you here, and my word will be fulfilled." God comes to this increasingly aging man and says, "Abram, your heart might be troubled. You might be fearful that you've believed the wrong voice. Do not fear, Abram. I have brought you to this place. I will fulfill the word that I have spoken. I am a shield to you. I am a protector. I am like a wall. And the reward that you shall receive will be very great. Now, the first instance or indication of that reward is given back in chapter 12 and the first three verses, which give us the promises that are made to Abram that his name will be very great, out of him will come a great nation, that God himself will bless him, and that Abram will be the means of blessing coming to this entire world. Well, the days have gone by, and the days have turned into weeks and months and even years, and I'm sure that Abram is wondering, did I imagine that? Was it something that was more to do with onions and leeks and garlic that I had eaten than that some vision or dream of the night? But God comes to him again and speaks words of comfort and assurance, words of solemn promise. But Abram, he somewhat complains to the Lord and says, Lord, you know, time is going by and there's no kid in the house, not even one. And my servant, surely he is going to be the one who will inherit all that I have. And God says, nothing doing. He shall not be your heir, but one that comes forth from your own body. And God had not spoken specifically of numbers. He had said a great nation, but what is a great nation? A great nation could be a powerful nation, though small. But God, in verse 5, takes Abram outside late one night, and he says, look up there into the heavens and count those stars. Now, in Winnipeg, as with so many other places, we have light pollution of all different kinds, and it's difficult to see the starry host. You need to really get out to a place, and all the better if you're way out where it's absolutely pitch black and it's a starlit night, and then you can understand for yourself with your own eyes the starry host. But God says to him, count those stars that your old eyes can see, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, this is what your descendants are going to be like. And verse 6, he believed in the Lord. Abram simply took that and he grabbed a hold of it. He seized upon what the Lord had said to him. Now, there wasn't a check written. There wasn't a signature in blood on some paper. It was simply the word of God spoken quietly on a late one night in solitary voice to his servant. But Abram took a hold of that, and it says, he believed in the Lord. And in the ledger of the Lord, in the Lord's Excel spreadsheet, God put it down on Abraham's account as righteousness, that he had done the right thing and that there was a right standing before the Lord. He, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, reckoned it to him, Abram, as righteousness. Now, think about what Abram had or hadn't done. He had just simply heard God's voice. Nothing else beside that, but he grabbed it. He grabbed it, and he held on to it. And think of the blessing that comes simply in doing that, simply in the seizing of God's word. But God goes on. Abram had said this complaint, but verse 7, God says to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. You see, here was God doing something better than signing in blood or giving Abram a check or a title deed. He was saying to him, Abram, I want you not to set your eyes upon the things of this world. I want you to set your eyes upon who I am. I am the Lord. That would have been enough. But God goes on and says, I am not just the Lord, but I am the Lord who took you by the hand and brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans in order that you might have this land. Now, once again, Abram has some hesitations or some questions. Verse 8, Lord, how may I know that I will possess it? We wonder whether is it right to ask the Lord, as Gideon did for that fleece that at one time was to be wet and at another time to be completely dry and the ground around it to be completely the opposite. Well, here, Abram, we've just read, he believed in the Lord, and the Lord was so delighted in him that in his ledger he put it down, Abram is right before me. But Abram goes on, how? Note that the response that is given is nothing that happened immediately. In Jesus' time, the Jews came to him and asked him, we want a sign. We want you to do something so that we would know that you are who you claim to be. They wanted some dazzling display, as if Jesus hadn't demonstrated umpteen times through his miraculous power exactly who he was. Well, what the Lord does here is something that goes to the future and that would be demonstrated that God had in fact spoken to him, but it wouldn't be evident for quite some time. Once again, Abram would simply have to hold on to what God had said to him. And not just Abram, but successive generations would also have to continue to hold on to what God had said here until it was fully unfolded. What comes hereafter is something very well known in the ancient world. A covenant was being made between two parties. And the two parties here were Abraham, the servant, and God, the master. And the typical way in which this covenant would be made was that certain animals would be taken and those animals would be cleaved, they would be cut in two, and they would be set along a small path, and the two parties would walk together through the midst of these animals, in essence declaring that should either of us violate, break, should we run counter to what we have pledged to one another in this agreement today, that we ourselves would be cleaved, that we would be torn asunder in like manner, such as these animals. Well, God says, 3-year-old heifer, 3-year-old female goat, 3-year-old ram, turtle dove, young pigeon. Abram rounds these up, he cuts them in two and lays them in such a path, but he did not cut the birds. Some birds of prey come down and Abram chases them away. Now, I said to you that the customary way was that the two parties would walk together binding themselves to faithfully carry out the covenant. But we read something in verse 12 happened that changes this very definitely. The sun was going down, and Abram suddenly falls into a deep sleep. And in that deep sleep, a terror and great darkness also falls upon him, and God speaks to him in his sleep about his descendants, who would go down into a strange land. It's not named, but clearly that is Egypt in mind, where they would be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. God, who would judge that nation, and then afterwards they would come out with many possessions, exactly as it had. God speaks to Abram, "You shall go to your fathers in peace, buried at a good old age." Then, in the fourth generation, those would come back. Now, verse 17, it came about when the sun had set and it was very dark, pitch black, behold, there was a smoking oven and a flaming torch. Here was a visible reminder of the presence of God. The flame, so often in the scriptures, is an indication of the power and of the presence of God. Well, here a smoking oven, a flaming torch, comes down and passes in between these pieces. Where is Abram? He's there by the side, and God takes upon himself all of the obligations of the agreement. God knew that Abram was flesh. He knew that there would be days of sterling faithfulness, but that there might also be times of wandering. And God was saying, I take upon myself to see this covenant, this agreement, this binding obligation. I take upon myself all of the obligation to carry this through. And so God, he is the one who passes through the pieces. On that day, we read verse 18, God the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, where were they? Yet to come. And Abram just took that by faith. To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the people who dwell there. Abram, it shall be yours. The Lord's ledger. See here the goodness and the mercy of God. See how easy it is to be in right relationship with the Lord. No money was exchanged. No deep oaths were uttered. Abram simply heard God's word and he grabbed it. And in that he walked and lived. And God blessed him. God blessed him. Lord, as we look to your ledger, we see how much you take upon yourself. How much you take upon yourself. All of the obligations, for you understand who we are. The very best that we have to offer is just struggle and unfaithfulness at so many times. But Lord, you continue to pour out of your rich storehouse, your blessing poured upon blessing. We rejoice in the story of Abraham and how that he just looked to your word and grabbed a hold of it and ran with it. And you were pleased to look upon your servant and to say, in him I delight. So, Lord, may it be of us also that as we hear your word, though at times it may seem strange and most certainly running counter to the counsel and the wisdom, the advice of this world, may we attend to your word with eager, with ready hearts, And so, Lord, may it be said of us in the courts of heaven, it was marked down to the credit, to the account of each one here, righteousness, righteousness. So, Lord, work your will in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.